Hey guys, and welcome to Broad Street to Britain, and it is the NL East Fans Roundtable Preview Show with myself, Dave Shaw, and I'm joined by some fantastic guests representing every team from the NL East, starting with the NL East champions, of course, representing the Phillies. Ryan, good evening, Ryan. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right, and there's your first error, because we're not the NL East champions, are we?
Oh, conference champions. I'm certain. I can't even get my head around it still.
Whoa. No, you're so happy that we did so well last season that you're just making facts up now.
I know. World Series runners-up.
That sounds good. We'll go with that.
And look, the Phil's the top of the billing this year. And that's the rules. Them the rules. And for the Braves, we have debutant, Charlie. Charlie, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, lovely. Thanks. Good evening.
Thanks for coming on, mate. So we'll get to them just shortly. For the Mets, we have Toria. Good evening, Toria.
Hello. Welcome up, ready? It's going to be painful. Toria from the
first time on as well for Toria. For the Marlins, you all know him. A UK baseball stud, as it were, Pete Pratt. Good evening, Pete.
Good evening, David. Looking forward to this one.
It's going to be, I think it's
you're already overselling the Phillies. You're already overselling them. I love this.
Nothing's changed. I was listening back to some of the old ones, and wow, my optimism in 2017 and 16 were off the charts. Unreal, considering we were hot garbage at that point.
Yeah.
And of course, last but not least, Rob, representing the Nationals. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, Mr. Shaw.
How are we?
Very well, mate. Very well. It's good to see some familiar faces.
It is. I was listening to the ones a couple of years ago, and there wasn't a lot of optimism coming from the Nationals back then. And I don't think a lot of that's going to change, is it?
Well, to be honest, we could probably just use that again, and I'll go back to watching the basketball.
Oh, Rob. We'll get to, yeah. Let's kick things off. So what it's going to be, a quick 5-minute one-on-one with everybody. Quick touch up on last year's season, followed by the off-season, ins and outs, what we're looking forward to, hopes and expectations. And after that, some NL East questions for everybody. Throw it all in. Whoever's got any questions for anybody, get them out there. And somehow we're going to all decide who's going to be the NL East champions and who's going to the World Series. And can the Phils go back-to-back World Series? Ryan, let's get you straight in, buddy. Hello, the Phillies.
Hello.
NL East, third place. However, NL Conference Champions, World Series runners-up, what a 2022. All changed when Topper came in and we sacked Girardi. Finished up on 87 and 75 record. 65-46 under Rob Thompson. We had the June and July of a lifetime, the October of so many amazing memories. Ryan, try and sum up the roller coaster of last season and that October.
Well, it went beyond anyone's wildest expectations. I mean, to finish third in the division and so far behind the top two as well, I might add. I mean, over the course of the regular season, the top two were better teams than the Phillies. You know, you have to hold your hands up and say that. But for them to do what they did, to get hot when they did, for the bullpen to actually show up like that, and you know, there were lots of doubts going into that offseason that the bullpen was the problem, and actually for a large part of the postseason the bullpen was a massive plus. It was wild, and it was fun again. It was fun at Citizens Bank Park, and you got to give that team so much credit. The manager, the city was on fire. The Eagles are good as well. What's not to love?
Yeah, the Union, the Eagles, the Phillies, yeah. all blowing it on the big stage. But yeah, you're right. It was unbelievable, and it came out of nowhere. It just, you know, after Girardi was fired, we were so far behind 500. We were so far out the wild card places. And just, you know, it just did not seem possible. But you're right, the bullpen was one of the biggest surprises out of anything. You know, the last few years, we've been hopelessly behind with the bullpen. This year, last year was incredible. We've added to that in the offseason. Gregory Soto coming in, Strom, Plasma.
Yeah.
And the Phils, bullpen wise, I think may just edge it over our rivals in the NL East with probably the best bullpen. What do you reckon?
Well, I mean, it's not nice to talk about comparing your bullpen to the bullpen of one that's just had a freak injury at the baseball classic, which is really nice then. But it's potentially, I mean, Dombrowski is an intelligent chap. He's done two things. He's added power to the offense and he's added power to the bullpen in the guise of home runs. And he doesn't particularly care about on offense strikeouts. He doesn't care about anything apart from on-base percentage, power, and this Phillies outfit for so long. We've been watching the Phillies since when the Phillies were good with Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Pat the Bat Burrell. The Phillies had power in abundance, and for 10 years, they've been trotting out some absolute duds in the offense, and it's been painful to watch. It really has, you know, trying to get excited about watching, like, Aaron Altherr.
Nick Williams. Players,
you know, it's just been absolutely shocking. And they've gone to the free agent table and said, get me the bats that can hit this ball out of this tiny ballpark, which is what they've been doing. And in the bullpen, they're not always names that people will think are good. And they're not always pitchers that are going to end the season with the world's greatest ERA, or they're not necessarily going to be great every day. But what they do have, and we saw it in the postseason, is the ability to strike out the opposition. And that's what he's done. He's gone after Kimbrel. He's gone after Soto. He's gone after Matt Strom. All pitchers that if they get it right and the velocity's up and they're healthy, they can turn up on the big stage. And once you're in the postseason, that's what you need.
Yeah, exactly. And they've all got big velo. You know, even the minors, you know, the minor players they're bringing in, all big velo. You know, we've just got a conveyor belt. Seen in spring training, you know, Yunier Marte, okay, a little bit of command to work on, but his velo is up there in the high 90s. Brogdon's finding his velo again as well. Alvarado's already throwing 102, which makes me slightly nervous in spring training. and of course, injuries. Painter, you know, we were hoping he'd be in the back end of the rotation. Unfortunately, not. Do you think we'll see him this year? Because he would be it'd be a bonus. It was always going to be a bonus.
I don't think they're going to take any risks with such a young arm, and he's integral to the Phillies' future. I mean, what the Phillies have done to mitigate that is go and sign Taiwan Walker, who obviously they're hoping will solidify the back end of the rotation. They hope that they can get another big year out of Ranger Suarez. And, you know, Bailey Falter is hittable, but as a fifth starter, you'd be hoping that he's serviceable as well. That obviously the big thing for the Phillies is trying to get through the first half, if not slightly longer, of the season without Bryce Harper, so that it's doable. The team looks good on paper, but you can't underestimate the significance of losing that bat, which means they're gonna need Nick Castellanos have a much better season.
we need a bounce back Nick Castellanos big time. Going into 2023, the Phillies' biggest strength and their weakness?
I think their biggest strength at the moment is the confidence in the team. I mean, going into this season, finally with a center fielder in Brandon Marsh that should be playing most days, who's confident, biggest strength, confidence and offense, biggest weakness is probably the latter part of that starting rotation that just needs to come together properly. And other than that, no, I think this looks like a team that should be winning at least 86 games.
Hold on, Ryan. Predictions coming up.
Sorry, Dave. Ruin your segments, mate.
No, but I agree, mate. I've got a weakness, yeah. Question mark of the back end of the rotation. The strength being the lineup, the depth as well, the benches. You know, if Sosa carries on that form he's seeing in spring training, I know it's only spring training, but Sosa, you know, he's finished the back end of the season when he was healthy, really good. Derek Hall, he's I know it's spring, but he's mashing the ball right now.
And yeah, I mean, I assume they'll be looking to Sosa and Josh Harrison to sort of provide some utility, I think, a role in the middle and sort of give people the odd rest day. But again, the strength this year, I think, is they start this year with Trey Turner and Bryson Stott through the middle. I mean, both. Obviously, Turner's a huge addition, and they're hoping that that's one major reason that they're not going to miss Bryce too much. But Turner and Stott in the center there is so much stronger than Didi Gregorius and Gene Segura that it's yeah, barely. Yeah. I mean, Segura is a good player, and I'm sure Segura will do well for the Marlins. I like Segura, but I think the time is right to give Stott the expanded role, who looked really good in the postseason.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely forgot we started the season with Didi and Stott, Segura in the middle last season.
Yeah, I mean,
it's huge
difference this season to start there with, and then not just with the middle infielders, but with Brandon Marsh in center field, which again is a huge upgrade on what we had, which was some sort of like weird platoon between players that we clearly didn't want.
And of course Trey Turner leading off with potentially Kyle Wright behind him. That's a big 1-2 punch straight away, isn't it? On top of any rotation. The lineup could be interesting this season. We'll get that in future pods when we get nearer the season starting. But Ryan, for now, thank you very much, buddy. We'll come back to you shortly.
Thank you.
Awesome. Right, on to the Braves. And Charlie. Good evening, Charlie.
Good afternoon.
How are you, buddy? You good?
Yeah, doing really well. Happy about my Braves.
Right, yeah, let's get into this. So last year, obviously, the NL East champions.
Yeah.
The offseason started pretty fast for the Braves, made some quick moves, and then since then have sort of gone under the radar, just going about their own business. So quickly for us, touch on what was, I imagine, a great 2022 win in the division, but then you fell completely flat in the playoffs against the Phils.
Yeah.
But the offseason's been an interesting one for the Braves.
Yeah, it's been an odd one because it's almost felt like we've added it, but staying quite still. You're quite right. It's like, we've had the big move with Sean Murphy, but Sean Murphy is, in a weird sense, in terms of sort of offensive production, probably going to be quite similar to what Travis Dunne was last year. So actually the sort of improvements are going to be quite defensive focused and are going to be quite, not going to be as easy to tell straight away. But it'll be great having Murphy's bat in the lineup. And to be fair, once he's in sort of the friendly confines of our stadium rather than the cavernous Oakland Stadium,
yeah,
he might absolutely pop off. We don't know, but it's a really exciting thing. But the weird thing is that I'm excited for like 5 years, right? Like that's one we'll get onto it in a second. But that's the big thing about the Braves. It's like we've got depth everywhere, and we've got it for a long time. So it's like this is really the first year of, well, what we want to be a dynasty, right? But there's still some things that aren't necessarily going to go our way. And it has been a slightly odd offseason in which, like, that was the big move. And then we've just been waiting. We've just sort of been waiting for some other things to happen. We've been waiting for some spring training things to shake out. And they've still not shaken out. But we'll get there. And I've got confidence in the depth. So it's not going
to
be too bad.
Yeah, I was looking at your roster. And I was like, the Braves haven't actually needed to do that much. You know, no. It's still what, you know, if you can stay healthy... I think you're going to be possibly the favourites. We'll get to that later in the show. But it's even looking at the rotation, it's good. You know, Max Fried, Kyle Wright, Spencer Strider. You know, when I saw him in the postseason, I was like, you know, we managed to get to him, thankfully for us. But another year of experience for him. And I think, he's got the stuff, no doubt about it. Then you've got Charlie Morton, Ian Anderson, the back end of your rotation. Bit of a question mark like ours, really. Morton getting on, he's got the experience. The bullpen's good, you know. It's a good Braves roster right there.
Exactly, it's just good from top to bottom, really. It's got its standouts. It's pretty good top to bottom. The two main areas I'm a little bit worried about is sort of left field DH. I mean, at left field at the moment we've got Eddie Rosario, maybe World Baseball Classic hero.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But in the World Baseball Classic, he's had two home runs and a single, and that's it. He's had nothing else. He's batting about 150. And he was in spring training, he batted about 150. So he was out for most of the year last year because of vision problems. And who knows if they're actually fixed or not. He thinks they are, but given he's batting 150, I don't know if they are. We've got Marcel Ozuna, who's defensive black hole, absolutely terrible, and not batting much better. And we've just got lots of players behind them who are sort of like about the same. Very good sort of defensive replacements. We've got people like Sam Hilliard and Eli White coming up and playing really well in spring training. But because we owe so much money to Ozuna, he might stick around on the roster. That remains to be seen. And then pitching-wise, you're right. I think Charlie Morton is one of those people who either comes out and is exceptional for six innings, or he just gets absolutely slapped around for the first two innings and then leaves. And there's not really any between. And it's because he relies so much on his curveball. And if he doesn't have the curveball, he's basically stuffed.
He's done, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So that, and then the fifth starter, you said Ian Anderson. Ian Anderson, he's been sent down now as well. He's been sent down along with Bryce Elder, who are the two sort of main contenders. And we've got our number one guy, Jaren Schuster, who is our sort of number one prospect. And a guy, our number 13 prospect, Dylan Dodd, two big left-handers, who are both sort of 12 innings in, sub one ERA in spring training, which sounds great, but like, is that going to carry on across the year? I don't know.
It's so hard to gauge spring training stats, right?
Exactly. So those are the sort of two main holes, and to only have two main holes like that, I mean, it's lovely. Don't get me wrong.
We'll get to the predictions shortly coming up, but for now, Charlie, thank you very much, buddy.
Pleasure.
Moving on to the Mets and Soria. Good evening, Soria.
Evening.
Your off season's quite dramatically changed in the last couple of days.
Yep.
First of all,
it's still too painful.
It's what are the who's going to cover that role? Who is now going to be the Mets closer? Diaz out for the season. Nimmo was a worry, but I believe he's should be okay for the start of the season. But that Diaz miss it that a season without Diaz, that's huge.
It's all right. We're just gonna score so heavily that we won't need closers. It's fine. We're just gonna not need somebody to come in and close because we're just gonna wipe the floor with everyone.
We're just gonna outrun everyone,
and then we won't need one. I think we've got a couple of options, and we have got a couple of people that can come in and kind of close out, but nobody can replace Diaz. I mean, he's the number one. His whole presence last season was incredible. It wasn't even, I mean, his numbers were insane, and he was like 130 ERA or something stupid like that. Oh, hello, Rosie. But it was the whole, like, everything that went with him. So, of course, we had Narco, and it was just electric. And I think just even that, him stepping onto the field was enough to just, it just got everyone going, and it gave him that aura. And there's nobody that you can bring in that is going to replace that. You know, we've got a couple of people at the back end of the rotation that can probably fill that. So Ottavino maybe could come in and close.
Isn't David Robertson there, isn't he?
He's not going to do it every day. So, you know, it's a bit of a worry. There was talk of Zach Britton. We went and watched him earlier. Yesterday. Yeah. So he, I think 10 or so teams went to watch him the other day. So I think from what I understand, that was planned anyway. But yeah, we're just going to need to get some bullpen strength now and do something about it. But at least we have an owner that can make those moves. So
no, that's true. Yeah. If anyone can, Cohen can, right? Because the spending power that man has is unreal. 101 wins, tied with the Braves last year, just missed out. Again, the off season, the postseason just didn't go the Mets' way. Is this the year? You know, you guys are just constantly, I don't know, are you underachieving? Is it the Mets bottling it? You know, it's got to be frustration from your side of things.
I think last year, if you'd have said we'd have had 101 wins and only tied the division, I won't say that we didn't win, then nobody would have believed it. I think what happened was just unprecedented, right? There was the run that the Braves went on, the kind of minor collapse that we had. And then the worst thing, I think, was just the way that we went out with a whimper. I mean, the Padres had the best of us for the whole season, but it was just so flat. That was disappointing. I don't think we underachieved so much. I think that we were almost beaten mentally by the time we got to the Padres. I think because we'd lost. Everybody was expecting us to win the division, and I think we just kind of fell short at that last moment, and that's going to have an effect. So much as they'd say it wouldn't, it's bound to. So it was disappointing, but I don't see any reason why we can't do that again this year. We can't go on 101. I mean, we should be looking for 102 wins, right? We've improved. So we should be looking for 102 wins this season. Sorry, I know we're not there yet. But I think we've got a great core. If we can keep people healthy, we've made some really good additions. I mean, obviously, we've got Verlander in. We've got Senga in. We've got some more action behind the plate now. So
yes, Senga is a bit of a question mark. You know, potentially, we haven't seen him perform in MLB yet. But, you know, if he lives to his hype and potential, yeah, he's going to be one hell of a pitcher. But it might take him a little while to settle into, MLB hitters.
It might, but he's surrounded by, some of the best to help him. He's got
Scherzer.
So I think it is a bit of a risk, but I think if it pays off, it's going to pay off big.
Brilliant. Toria, for now, thank you very much. So that's the Phils. That's the Braves. That's the Mets covered. The three-headed beast of the NL East. And then Pete thinks it's four, if you're watching the YouTube channel. The four fingers have gone up because are the Marlins going to join the party, Pete? Pete.
Don't say it, Dave. Don't say it.
I can't. I know we're going to get a lot of hot takes right now.
You will.
Yeah, your glass half full. But I looked at your roster. I looked at everything. I don't see more than 75 wins, but we'll get to that in a minute. 2022, Pete, 69, 93. The pitching side wasn't as much of a problem, actually. When you break it down, it was more your offense. Your pitching stats were decent. Your runs against were decent, especially up against the rest of us in the division. Just getting those runners in scoring position just seemed to be the problem. Just clutch when it really mattered.
Offense was absolutely putrid, mate. It was historically bad. Historically bad, that offense. Jorge Soler, Avisel Garcia, big free agent signings, absolute just horrendous seasons from them boys. We had clubhouse cancer going on. There was players meetings. It was just an absolute, it was not good in 2022. Don Mattingly gone, new manager in, new clubhouse, new vibes. Oh, unfortunately, Jorge Soler and Avisel Garcia are still there, but it can only be better than 2022. Is an absolute shit show, I'm not gonna lie.
So who's coming in the office? Gene Segura is a great addition for you guys. I think he's an absolute brilliant addition for you guys. A guy who was just playing in the World Series for the Phils, had a great year for the Phils. We sort of sad we couldn't really keep him on, but then Trey Turner's come along and it's a slight upgrade. But Gene's a great asset for you guys. On the field, but the clubhouse as well. Who else has come in that's gonna? It's gonna elevate some wins for the Marlins. He's gonna elevate their offense.
Right. Let's start with the manager. We got a new manager, Skip Schumacher. So let's start there. Donnie's gone. So the Braves fans will be happy at that because they thought that Donnie was instructing everyone to throw at Ronald Acuna Jr., which just isn't the case. But anyway, the Marlins have then gone down a pathway. This is a unique approach in baseball, right? They have a catcher, they have a pitcher, and then they're going with. What, 8 second basemen? That's the strategy the Marlins have gone. They've seen these new rules and they've said, we're going to go with 8 second basemen and we're going to spray them around the field and we're going to have a catcher and we're going to have Sandy Alcantara. That's the methodology. Gene Segura, you're talking about, mate, he's supposed to be playing over at third base. He's never played at third base apart from like 20 games.
I don't see that experiment going too well either for you, mate, to be honest.
No, we all joked about the Phillies defense last year heading into the year. I definitely was joking about it.
Yeah, you did.
I was joking about it. Oh, the Marlins defense is set up to fail in a really bad way. Our best second baseman, let me just summarize it here for you now. Our best second baseman is playing out in center field. He's never played in center field ever in his life.
Jazz,
he's out in center field. Our second best second baseman is over at third base. That's Mean Gene. Our third best second baseman is over at shortstop. That's Joey Wendell. Our fourth best second baseman is probably the utility player. And our fifth best second baseman is playing second base. Still following me? Oh boy, what are the Marlins doing here defensively? What could possibly go wrong with the Marlins in 23?
What a roller coaster! If it wasn't for the Nationals, your record would have been what, below 60, wouldn't it?
I mean, we absolutely hammered the Nats last year. It was wonderful. I wish you could play the Nats literally every day. Without playing the Nats, the Marlins would have won 60 games. It was a terrible year for many reasons. Luckily, so much has changed. Some of it is still the same, but a lot has changed in terms of clubhouse, culture, strategy. We'll see how it plays out. One thing that remains is Sandy Alcantara heading the rotation.
I was going to say that, and even the pitching-wise, there's enough there to keep you right in games.
I mean, we were in tons of close games last year. That was a problem. I mean, how many one-run losses do you want to have? I mean, boy, oh boy, it was just insane. The offense was putrid. Bullpen was putrid. It was tough. The Marlins will hang tough because the starting pitching is good enough to hang tough. But can the offense do enough? Probably not. Can the bullpen hold? Probably not. They've traded away Pablo Lopez, who is underrated, by the way, heavily underrated across the league. Everyone's going, hey, Pablo Lopez, he's available. He'd be our fourth or fifth starter. Nonsense. Pablo's an absolute stud, and he'll do great at the Twins. They've replaced Pablo Lopez with Johnny Cueto. I like the pre-pitch movement, but again, what could possibly go wrong here? Johnny Cueto, and he's 49.
49, I mean, he's probably what, third in your rotation, isn't he?
I mean, he's our two. I mean, there's a serious lack of length in this rotation. Pardon the pun there, but I mean...
It says a lot when you're asking Sandy to try and go nine innings every outing as well to the bullpen. What have the Marlins added to the bullpen? Anything much?
They actually have. I mean, I'm being a little bit unfair to the bullpen. Kim Ang has definitely addressed the bullpen. They traded for Matt Barnes, who in 2021 was an absolute stud for the Red Sox. So that's good. He was putrid in 2022. So we'll see which one of those we get. You've also then had the big trade, inverted commas on that one, with AJ Puck and JJ Bleday. So interested to see if Puck goes into the closer role at some stage. Dylan Floro still around. Tanner Scott, you remember, we talked about it before we started. Who, sorry?
Bass.
No, the Bass man is gone. He was traded at the deadline, mate. So no Bass man. I mean, that sums up the Marlins, right? You signed this stud closer. He had the biggest hype video you've ever seen since probably Giancarlo Stanton. And in 2 years with the Marlins, zero saves. Zero saves. That just sums it up, right? But we'll wait to see what AJ Puck can do. Matt Barnes, I think, is an interesting piece. Tanner Scott, we talked about it before we started this stream, mate. Do you remember that Garrett Stubbs walk-off bomb? And me.
And the celebration that went with it after.
Absolutely,
The big flex of the Phillies bench as he ran around the bases.
What a stud. What a stud that was, yes, from Stubbsy, no doubt.
Yeah,
that was
Tanner Scott. Stubbs has got to start every Marlins game.
He has to. But that was Tanner Scott throwing 75 sliders in a row. So I think Stubbs was sitting on the slider there. So we'll see what Tanner Scott's got in 23. But I mean, overall, this could be pure comedy from the Marlins in 23. Honestly, it could be. It could be absolute, it could just blow up out of nowhere. And Kim Ang's gone. Jazz Chisholm's traded. Sandy Alcantara's traded. Who knows? But you know, this is a social experiment going on here. This literally is an experiment.
This is the team that got the postseason in the inverted commas shortened season. But after that season, you know, you still had a team there which should have been kicking on, and it just seems like you've gone backwards.
They really have. The boys, that core, aged quickly. I think 2020 was a little bit of it was probably a little bit of an unfair situation, or that, you know, that wasn't indicative of the talent, on that one. So, you know, the Marlins, the reality is they have to play the different game to the three teams we've covered already, right? The free agent budget is just not there. They have to operate in a different way. And that seemingly is the approach where they've changed their strategy here. They're going with contact heavy hitters, and they're hoping Jorge Soler and Avisel Garcia can do something. Clearly they have Jazz Chisholm in the lineup. The key question, and the Marlins, you know, the front office, the management, they keep using this word, this term, if healthy. And they are praying that people are going to stay healthy for the year. But as baseball fans, we know what happens. That doesn't happen. No one is healthy all year. All teams will suffer injuries. We've seen it already in the preseason with the Mets, Obviously, the Phils are missing Bryce.
You know, we haven't got him. Yeah.
You know, everyone will miss players. And the Marlins, their strategy is we're going to go with 8 second baseman and hope everyone's healthy. What could go wrong?
Pete, thank you, buddy. From potential comedy to potential, I don't know, Rob. The Nats, I was struggling for notes for the Nats.
You and me both.
2019 feels like a long, long time ago. The thing is that the rebuild doesn't even seem to be starting. You seem to be stuck at your foundations. What?
No, see, what? Oh, that's probably a little unfair. Like, obviously, they won the World Series 2019. That our farm was an absolute mess at that point. We didn't really have anyone whatsoever. And they've tried, I guess, over the last 2 years, 3 years to improve that. And I think probably this year is probably the best farm that we've got. But then what do you win with a farm? You win nothing, do you? You win 50 games.
Exactly, yeah.
And you just wait. However, I think that's probably what they've got to do. It's really, really tough. Like, yeah, the last 2 years have been an absolute mess. And last year I was hoping on, I was watching the games for Soto. Obviously, he's gone. And now who am I watching it for? There's not a great deal there. I'm not going to lie. there's a few youngsters that picked up CJ Abrahams in the trade for Soto. He's quite fun to watch at shortstop. They've got Joey Meneses, who had a good end to last season, and he's done well in the WBC. He's come shone a little bit of light on
him.
He's quite fun. But he's an old man. He's not young. I got Garcia at second base. He doesn't look too bad. But, yeah, there's not a great deal. I was going to watch Cade Cavalli.
And he's injured now, right?
And he's done. He's done his UCL in midweek. Yeah. God. So I think we just asked for spring training to be cancelled from now on, don't we?
I am not even got involved in this argument. The Nats is Strasburg, Corbin Gray, Trevor Williams, Mackenzie Gore as a rotation.
Strasburg, no, he's dead. He won't be pitching. I'll be surprised if we ever see him again. He's had that, is it thoracic outlet syndrome or something? And yeah, he's done. He's not anywhere near coming back. So we've got opening day will be Corbin, Josiah Gray.
Patrick Corbin.
Corbin will be opening day. Josiah Gray. Then instead of Cavalli, who's the fifth start, we've got Chad Kroll, I think we picked up from the Rockies, who again is a 5.5 ERA pitcher. And Williams, who we picked up from the Mets, who he might end up being fairly decent, we just don't know. And who else is there? There's one other. 1 second. Oh, Gore, Mackenzie Gore. We picked up, but then he's been batted around in spring training. And he's a bit of an unknown quantity. I know he has a good reputation, but I don't think he's ever really done it in the major leagues.
Is there any right spot to look forward to for 2023? Is there any
promise
coming through?
Look, I want to see them play without fear. And with that lineup, they probably should. They've got enough youngsters in there that they shouldn't have too much fear. And I think they've got the right manager. I don't see any point in changing Davey. But there's big question marks hanging over the whole franchise, to be honest. It came out early last season that they wanted to sell. The learners wanted to sell up. That's just lingering on and on and on. There's big issues with regards to the TV deal they have with Masson. So whether they can actually get a buyer to take up that with the Orioles, it's a right messy situation. I don't know it all, but
it looks messy.
When I start reading about it, I get bored after a few paragraphs and switch over. But it's really messy, and I think that's probably one of the main sticking points why I haven't got an owner, because you must think, like, Washington DC, it's going to be an attractive franchise to buy. There must be a big sticky point as to why people don't want to buy it. But then last week they go and sign Calbert Ruiz to a long deal, and he's exciting to watch. I quite like him. Obviously, his bat needs to improve, but he's good behind the plate. And he's obviously a bright spot. And they gave him a big long deal, which is what we've been waiting for years. Well, I think he's the first contract I've known signed for a long, long time. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for these players to be given extensions. And he left Boras, I think, and then within 2 weeks he signed a long-term deal, so we were quite happy with that. But that seems strange as well. If the ownership's up in the air, who's going
to... And the players are committed.
But listen, it's up in the air. It's going to be a mess of a season. I still enjoy watching them, but it is a bit tedious sometimes, knowing you're going to get whooped. The spring training, they've been okay. I guess there's zero pressure in spring training. They've been okay.
And if there's no one at Nats Park, it should be zero pressure there as well. They might pick up some wins here and there.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. It's like what Ryan was saying earlier about power in the lineup. Like, I don't know where we're getting home runs from. They signed Dom Smith. I guess we're going to be relying on some hits from him. Yeah, and that sums us up, really. There's no power there. We didn't hit many home runs at all last year. We must have been last for home runs, and I don't think we're going to be anywhere near.
I suppose for the Nats, you're one of those teams that, a bit like the Royals, you had that window and you took it. At least you can say you have got that World Series ring to your name and that trophy to your name, but the pain that comes after is... It soon gets forgotten about.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I wouldn't change that for the world. I really wouldn't. That 2019 was very, very special, but it does now. You do start thinking back, Jesus. The lineup we were turning out every day was just amazing. And even the year after, the lineup was good enough. It just all fell apart with accumulation of issues, but we're still turning out a good lineup. And that has soon fallen off a cliff. And now when you look at the lineup and you're like, what the hell is that? Like, every day that is a fire. But what can you do? There's plenty of teams that are similar to us. It's just a shame we're in the NL East when there's three powerhouses and the Marlins, isn't it? It's a mess.
Yeah, because in NL Central, you'd probably a bit better off, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it would give everyone a little bit more leeway, I guess, as well, wouldn't it? It gives the youngsters, if you're winning games, you might not be hitting particularly well or fielding particularly well, but if you're winning games through the odd score here or there, you do get a bit of leeway. But if you're getting battered by the Mets, Phillies, Braves every day, it soon adds up, doesn't it? I think, what did we get last year? 55 wins? It ain't going to be any more than that.
55 wins. Yeah. I think they beat us twice last year.
Yeah,
the Marlins, I think owned you.
I'm not sure. We obviously did win a game here or there, but yeah, every single series against the Marlins, and they're better than us. You look at their lineup this year; it's head and shoulders above ours. They should be beating us. Everybody should be beating us. Really, I don't know who we're on par with in the whole of the MLB, to be honest. That it's got such a weak looking lineup.
Well, let's get to the predictions. So, Rob, as you're on now, I'll start with you, and I'll go through you all one by one. So that I want the Nats prediction, wins prediction, and then. How do you see the NL East shaping out this year, first of all?
Yeah, so I'm going to go the same as last year, to be honest, 55. I can't see any more than that for the Nats. As for the NL East, we'll be bottom. I can't see the Marlins improving massively. They're a little bit better. I think they might get a few more wins, but they'll be second from bottom. Then I'll see... It's tough, isn't it? Any three, you can make a case for any of those three to win it. I think the Mets will win it. I think their rotation is incredibly strong, and I think that is what will win them the most matches. Then I think the Phillies will come second, and then I think the Braves. But I can't see any of them missing out on the playoffs with it being extended and stuff. I can't see that being the case at all.
I agree. I think all three of us make it. It's just literally in what order.
Yeah,
I think the fight will go all the way all season, which would be great, you know, to have three teams fighting out for the title all season.
Will it?
I don't think it will. as a neutral, who would you want to see? As a neutral, who would you want to see win the NL East?
He's not a neutral, is he?
All right. As a
he sat there like vomiting as you're asking him the question.
Who would you want to?
Which one of my aunties do I want to shag? Jesus. I don't know. Braves, I guess. Push. That would be, I guess that's it. And then, the Mets and the Phillies. No, just don't even ask me that.
I was fishing. But cheers, Rob.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Cheers.
Pete, same question to you, mate. The Marlins record, and how do you see the NL East panning out?
The amount of variance that's possible here in this Marlins number is astounding, to be honest with you. So much can happen. Could it be lower than 69? Yes. Could it be 69 again? Yes. Could it be 80? Maybe. What do I think that? Well, Vegas has got the number 75, 76 wins. If I was a betting man, I'd hit the under. Put it that way. But I'm not a betting man, and I'm on this pod. And I'm going to tell you, the Marlins are going to they're going to have at least 80 wins. They're going to be death by 5 million paper cuts with this offense. It's going to be the most boring offense to watch, but it accumulates runs. The bullpen is amazing, and the rotation holds. In terms of the division, the Nats in fifth, of course. The Phillies are in, wow. in fourth. I think serious? The Phillies flame. Listen, you had a hot end to the year. It's a new year now, and no Bryce. Phils are going to feel the pain. So I'm going to Phils. The Marlins in third. In second, I am taking. It's close. It isn't really. The Mets are in second. Their geriatric rotation is going to fall apart at some point, and they are going to be left with zero pitching. And the Braves are the class of the division. They have been for so long, and they remain it. What an organization. What a team. What a roster. And the rest, they're not even close, to be honest with you.
Toria, bounce back from that.
I mean, we've got to look for 102 wins. We got 101 last year. We've improved. There's no reason
in this division. The
other thing that we've got to filter in this year, though, is more interleague play.
Exactly. I was going to say we have to play everybody this year.
Yeah. So that I think that is going to play a part, and I think it's going to actually probably go against the likes of us and the Braves, and possibly create more opportunity for Marlins and the Nats. But at the same time, there's an unknown there. So I think, I'm being optimistic. I am optimistic. That's me. I'm always optimistic. I think that's what we've got to aim for. The interleague play is gonna throw a curveball, I think. But it also means that we get an opportunity to beat teams that we might not have done. I mean, you know, there are certain teams that had the better of us last year and we played them more often. And we're going to have less of that. But at the same time, we're not going to get to beat up on some of the divisional rivals as much. I think it's going to get interesting.
How do you think it's going?
Yeah, I think I have to say we're going to win it. I have to. I think we're going to be pushed by the Braves. I keep saying that we've improved and they haven't necessarily, but they were damn good last year. So I think it's going to be Braves second, fairly close behind. Followed by Miami and Nats. Sorry, guys.
I think it's sort of what they were expecting. Charlie, Pete's got you as the runaway leaders. Rob's got you as the favourites. Obviously, Toria's got the Mets in first. And I'm going to safely presume you're going to back yourselves to win it again.
Well, I'm going to have to, aren't I? I mean, I don't particularly want to make some predictions about the postseason, because I mean, who actually knows whatever happens in the postseason? But the Braves have one thing that they've done forever very well, and that's win the regular season. I mean, we won 14 in a row. We won one series, but we won 14 in a row, and we've won what, four in a row now? I mean, why is that going to stop? It's not going to stop. Our consistency is such that we should just be beating every team that don't face us multiple times. If we have our pitching is up to standard, I think it's just as good as the Mets, even though they've got some old men to top off their rotation. but I think essentially Braves, my brain is telling me like 98 wins. My heart is telling me like 115. So I'll do a conservative 108, I think.
108 wins.
Yeah. Look, I've got to stay on the conservative side of things. And I think
conservative 108.
Yeah. And I just think it's time for us to break out. I think we've essentially spent the last couple of seasons eking out wins over our competitors. And now it's a time to really push on and sort of do a Dodgers-esque, like, dominate the division for the next 5 years. That's the, again, very hopeful side of me. But I mean, what is baseball without hope? Because I'm a Falcons fan in the football, so what am I going to do? So yeah, I think it's going to be good. I think we're going to win the division. I think we're going to win it relatively comfortably. I think we're going to lead. This is where I'm not quite sure. I actually have a sneaking feeling that the Phillies are going to outperform most predictions, and I think they will probably come in second.
Yes, Charlie.
Yes, and then I think it'll be very close. I think it'll be very close, Phillies and Mets. But I think the Mets, I think they did so well at certain points last year, and I think that I always felt not confident when I was watching the Mets, whereas like when I was watching us, obviously my team, I always felt confident that we were going to win. But the Mets always seemed a little bit shaky. That's purely me and is based on absolutely nothing. But I think the Mets are going to come in third. I think the Marlins are going to. I think they could shock people. I do think there is something to just having a very, like, fine roster with a couple of gems. So I think the Marlins could shock some people, and then the Nats.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't.
Yeah, just and the Nats. I think it's,
yeah.
Is the way to go. Ryan, bring it home. Come on. The Phils wins. I personally think I've got us around the 93 mark, which should be enough to get us back in the postseason. This team looked fired up to win those two extra games we missed out on last year. There just seems to be no World Series hangover. They want to get straight back to it. They want to get back there. The spirit is still there. The chemistry is still there. We've added to this roster. 87 wins last year. I think we're going to be around the 93, 94 mark. I think we'll be second to the Braves. I think the Mets are going to have actually not a good season at all. Ryan, what are you predicting? Come on.
Well, I think it's fair to say that the Phillies would be hoping to win more than 87 for a few reasons. They were better in the second half last season. There was improvement. They've added Turner. They should get a healthier Reese Hoskins. They'll be hoping for a massive improvement from Castellanos. I'm not sure it's going to be a huge improvement, but even a little bit of an improvement there would help. And if they can just get by in the first half, that would probably be enough to set them up for a 90-plus win season. The number that I've written down is 92, which I think is reasonable. Yeah. Give or take four wins either side of that. I wouldn't be surprised if they won 88. I wouldn't be surprised if they won 96. A lot depends on the health of Nola and Wheeler. Hopefully,
big time.
Would, you know, they can't afford an injury to either of those guys. I would have the Braves winning the division. I like what the Braves do in terms of attempting to create a dynasty. Although obviously the last time they created a dynasty, it was just a dynasty of World Series losers more than anything else. but they do a very good job of keeping their free agent contracts quite reasonable. So they've only really committed money to Matt Olson. And the top of the lineup then is quite solid with obviously Acuna and Riley, who are there long term. They'll be hoping to get a lot more from Albies, who had quite bad injuries last season. And I'm sure if he stays healthy, he'll be fantastic. I think Michael Harris and Vaughn Grissom are quite exciting, although there's question marks over them coming into the majors. Spencer Strider, by the way, is absolutely superb. I think they'll win the division with about 100 wins. I don't think the Mets are going to have like a bad season, but I have serious questions. Yeah, I don't know. And now the bullpen looks questionable as well. And that's unfortunate, but it does. I mean, Tommy Hunter, David Robertson. David Robertson is almost at the point where he looks like he's throwing underarm.
Yeah,
like soft toss. And the problem the Mets have got is that the Phillies know David Robertson really well. I mean, they'll be delighted if he's out for the ninth inning. They'll know what he's about to throw. Washington, Miami.
Each team's breakout player for the season. Ryan, I'm with you now. I've got Alec Bohm. I think he's going to absolutely break out and take this year by storm.
Yeah, maybe someone that comes up from the minors. I could see Johan Rojas coming up and doing well at some point. Or Stephen Muzziotti as well, central fielder. So, yeah, so I think someone will come up and contribute quite nicely. But most of the players, maybe Boehm, you're right, most of the players that are already there are fairly established.
Yeah. Pete, for the Marlins, underdog breakout player, who can you see happening for the Marlins?
You caught me off guard then. I was like, hold on, this isn't the cycle. Shouldn't it have gone back to the Mets?
I'm going on the order of my screen now.
Okay. Love it. All right, breakout player for the Marlins. I mean, boy, oh boy, there could be tons of them. I would say the most likely breakout is Edward Cabrera from a pitching perspective. If he can put the body of work in, then Edward Cabrera definitely has the opportunity to do it. The other one, sneakily, we were all thinking he could be the breakout in 22 with Jesus Sanchez. I still wouldn't rule that out either with a massive Jesus Sanchez year, not hitting any lefties ever again. But Edward Cabrera, the most likely. But keep an eye on Jesus Sanchez too.
There's some names right there. Charlie, how about for the Braves?
This is going to be a bit rogue because we're already paying him hundreds of millions of dollars. And I'm going to say Matt Olson. So, obviously, he's been an All-Star once. Unbelievable game.
I'm just shouting at my dog. Sorry.
It's understandable. anyway, so Matt Olson, he's essentially prototypical first base guy. Hits for power, hits doubles. But this time, I think he's going to hit for average as well. He gets impacted by the shift so badly. And I mean, in spring training, he's hitting something stupid like 600. And if he just converts some of the things that he's been hitting directly into the shift for the past 2 or 3 years, he's going to, I wouldn't be surprised to see him hit sort of 280, 290, pushes on base up to like 360, 370, like really, really, really good play from Matt Olson, I think, this year, to the extent where I think he'll be seen as like a top three first baseman in the league.
So, Matt Olson. So, Rob, for the Nationals.
I would have said Joey Meneses after the end of the season he had last year, but obviously he's come to light in the WBC, so I wouldn't say he's too much of a going to be much of a breakout. Plus, he's old, so probably shouldn't use him.
You can break out when you're old. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, the grades are breaking out. I know about that. Who should we go with? I'm going to go with CJ Abrahams. He played really well when he came in last year. He's a really, really excited defender. He's great, great to watch. And if he can add a bit of power to his game, he could be a really, really good, fun shortstop for us. I'll go CJ Abrahams.
CJ Abrahams for the Nats and Toria for the Mets.
I'm going to go Brett Beatty, I think. He's going to be pushing to start at third base. He's had a really strong spring. He did come up a little bit last year, and then in true Mel got injured, so was out for kind of September, October. But I think he's solid. We've got a few really, really good prospects, actually. We've got Alvarez and Beatty. Mauricio's been just firing in the Winter League and doing really well in spring training as well. And we've got Mark Vientos as well. So I think we've got a really good group of youngsters that I think are going to come through. I'd also love to see Mike Guillaume have a really good season. He deserves a gold glove, bless him. So I wouldn't quite push it as breakout, but I'd just love to see it.
Oh, interesting. That's not what I had down, so I'll keep an eye out for him. While with you, Toria, we'll stay with it. So World Series, the World Series winner, and the NL MVP?
That's a tough one. I am optimistic, but I don't
think... You're saying Mets, aren't you?
No, I would... My heart, of course, says Mets. I'd love to. But I still struggle to see past the Dodgers. I said I thought it was going to be them last year. I think they're just so solid. They got so many wins as well. I think I'm thinking Dodgers, unfortunately. Our MVP, I will say, I'm going to say Verlander. He's going to stay healthy. He's going to put up great numbers, and he is going to be absolutely solid.
Interesting. All right. I just don't see it, but interesting. Rob, same thing for you, buddy. World Series winners, and the NL MVP. You're on mute. You're on mute.
It could be someone from the East. But again, Astros know how to do it. And I really, really wouldn't be surprised if they go and do it again. Or at least get very, very close. So yeah, I'll go for the Astros again, I think.
Against two.
Sorry?
Against two.
Oh. Braves.
Charlie, the World Series lineup, the World Series winners, and the NL MVP.
Well, I mean, I think it's unfair if I've said that the Braves are going to win 108 games. I think I'm probably going to have to predict us to get to the World Series.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think it'd be incorrect for me not to. I think it's really tough. I think there's some really good teams that are going to come in. I think that the Yankees might finally put it all together and win the World Series over us. I expect the Braves to lose. I expect any of the teams that I support to lose in the playoffs. So I think I'm ripe for some heartbreak. So I think it'll be like a reverse sweep or something. And then NL MVP, again, this is another slightly rogue guess. But I think Ozzie Albies is going to have the absolute season of his life. Something that we forget about Ozzie Albies, he's been playing for the Braves for 6 years, but he's 25.
25.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's
yeah, it's like you feel like being around forever.
Yeah, he's the longest tenured Brave. And he's 25 and he is not even approaching what he could do. He was injured last year for most of the year. Like first time he's really been injured in his career properly. And this year I think he could steal 40 bases. I think he could hit 30, maybe even 40 home runs. He's hit 30 before. I think if he has a season where he lives up to his full potential and he's only getting up to his peak, I think he could, and this is probably the hottest take I've got, is he will have a 40-40 season and win MVP.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. Charlie's come out full on swinging for the Braves. I like it.
We got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Pete, Marlins definitely aren't getting there. But who have you got? Who have you got, Pete?
There's two teams I'm really high on, so I'm just going to go with them. Two teams I'm really high on based on the numbers, the projections. I absolutely love the Cardinals this year.
Really?
I think, yeah, I really love the Cardinals. I think they're an immense ball club. I think they do everything well, and they have got tons of high-end prospects that are just about to come through. The Cardinals are about to get a real injection of talent very quickly. They still need some pitching, but they can make some trades in the year. I'm really high on the Cardinals. Equally, I'm high on the Twins as well. I like the Twins this year, which seems an ambitious call, but I like the Twins. And if healthy, Byron Buxton is an absolute king, an absolute stud. If you're asking me about the AL MVP, I'd have Buxton. You're not. You're asking me about the NL MVP. So I'm going to have approaching contract year, Juan Soto. Juan Soto, baby. Soto is going to have an absolute monster year in San Diego, in my opinion.
I think Cardinals will walk that division because I think that division is pretty poor. In fact, I'm going to see the Cubs coming second in that division. But I think the Cards should easily win the division. But
easy. So that's the thing. That's the thing, right? You know they're going to be one of the home teams in this postseason. You know they're going to have a good draw.
Yeah, but they were home in the wild card game when the Phils did them. You know, in the postseason it means
anything can happen. Baseball isn't played on paper. This is the thing, right? We just saw the Dominican go out.
How many times have you seen the Dodgers run away with the division, and then when it comes to postseason, just not turn up? It's
anything can happen.
Sometimes teams can get too complacent in the when they've wrapped it up early. But I like it, Pete. I like it as always. Ryan, same for you, buddy. The Phils, right?
I'll play it concert. I think Atlanta will probably make it, and if they're going to make it, it'll be with a healthy Ronald Acuna, and if Acuna's healthy, like 600 plate appearances or something, then what that looks like, I don't know. Probably looks like 40 home runs and 30 steals or something like that. And
that's too low on the steals, mate.
I don't know. I'm just like, he is such a beast. Like, he'll probably, if they make it and he's healthy, that, yeah. So him, Acuna as MVP, and I don't know, but my AL knowledge isn't as good, but Toronto look like they've got their stuff together. I mean, Boston don't have their stuff together. I mean, the Yankees sort of have their stuff together, but it looks a bit weird. Like, when you just look at the lineup and the pitching, and I don't know. No, I kind of feel like the Jays, even if they don't win the division, it looks good. Manoa, Gossman, Berrios could have a shake-up. Chris Bassitt is pretty good. And the offense, if it comes together, looks nice as well. So, yeah, I would say the Jays will beat the Braves in typical Bravey fashion. The dynasty continues.
I've got the Astros v. the Phils repeat, and the Phils... winning the extra two games.
I don't want to watch the Astros in that World Series again, man. I'm absolutely done with the Astros.
I don't
watch
it. Even on the yearbook, I get to the World Series and I end it there. I can't watch the Alvarez home run ever again in my life. But I just think the Phils, getting back to the postseason, even if it's by the wild card again, I don't care. Just get us back there and you'll see a different Phils again. And I think they're so hungry to go one step further. Phils are going to do it. I think the Phils are doing it. This is the year we're going one. And that's my hot take as well. Get on to hot takes. That's mine. Ryan, any hot takes?
Oh no, I completely agree with you, but I'm not going to predict that here because then I look like a mug at the end of the season, don't I?
Yeah, but I'm used to it, so I will.
So I predict the Braves to do really well, and then when the Phillies do well, I can sort of smugly sit back and go, oh, I didn't expect that.
Pete.
Hot takes are we talking about?
Any hot takes you got for the year ahead?
The hottest of hot takes, the Dodgers do not make the postseason in 23.
Oh, that's my one for the Mets. I don't think the Mets make it. I think the Mets miss out completely on the postseason. Where are you? And quickly as well, I'll go back to Ryan a sec. Yay or nay on the new rules, by the way. I know you're a big yay.
Absolutely. Everything looks amazing to me. More hits, more stolen bases, less just wasted time. Like, get these two-hour games done. Come on. Get it done.
It helps at the middle of the night. I won't lie. It's going to happen. Ryan, quickly back to you. The rules. Yay or nay? You a fan of them?
Probably not. I'll watch. I don't know. Yeah, fine. Yeah, turn it into this, like, ridiculous arcade. Like, the thing is, I am with baseball. I'm being funny, but I'm a bit of a traditionalist, which I'm not, like, a stuck in the mud, but I'm not saying no changes, but... I go to the baseball actually to, I don't know if you know, but my mind ticks at a million miles an hour and I can't really calm down. So I kind of use baseball as the place that I go to see some green grass, smell a bit of the outdoors, relax, chill out. I don't want that massive pitch clock right behind home plate, like stressing me out while I'm trying to relax.
No, I agree. I think it's going to be a lot different watching there in person, especially. Yeah.
No, I'm with you, Ryan. I'm massively with you there. It's similar to me with 2020 cricket and county cricket. You go to county cricket, you sit, you relax, you don't feel like you need to watch every single second of every single moment of that day. Sit back, chill, go and get yourself a drink, go to the toilet, and you're not stressing about what's happening. 2020, you've got the music pumping, you've got the clock for them to get out to the wicket. Once there has been a wicket, they've got to get out to the middle. In time, it just chill, just relax, just calm it down. Yeah. I don't mind change as long as I feel it's done for the right reasons. This just seems like they've forced it through. I'll get used to it, I guess. But whenever I've watched the spring training, that all the commentators, all they're doing is talking about this clock. I don't want to listen to the clock. I really don't want to listen about that. Let's relax. 3 hours of baseball. Put your feet up.
As it happens, Rob, I'll be at Nationals Park on Saturday the 1st. I'm going to watch the Braves and the Nationals. So
very nice.
I'll let you all know what it's like.
Yeah, the new the pitch dugout, wouldn't you?
Say again?
You should be sat right behind the dugout, wouldn't you? Wouldn't we have to spot you there?
You'd be playing, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the second game of the season. I'm sure they'll have some fans there for the second game of the season. Okay. I won't be right behind the ticket.
Alan, are you going to the Phil's openers?
No, I'm doing a fantasy auction on the Sunday after that, and then I'm not going to Philly. I'm going back up to New York, and I'll see the Phillies play the Yankees at Yankee Stadium.
So we just missed each other again.
Yeah, I know.
Again, second year running, isn't it?
I didn't plan it, Dave. I promise. I didn't check your itinerary and do the
second year running. We're going to miss each other by about a day.
I know.
Charlie, any hot takes? Although all your takes have been pretty fire, and your thoughts on the new rules?
I'll go for like a lukewarm but semi hot take. I think even if Cunha is healthy for the whole season, I don't think he'll lead the Braves in stolen bases. I think Michael Harris might have like 300 stolen bases this year. Again, even last year he was just stealing bases like it was going out of style. So I reckon that Michael might lead the league. I'll say that Michael Harris will lead the league in stolen bases. Not quite as hot as the 108 win.
That was quite a high bat set.
yeah, maybe should have waited for this question. rules wise, I like the rules. I think some games do just go on for too long. I mean, I play British baseball, which goes on for about a million hours. So, like, my God, if I had to watch that as well as play it. Yeah, it's painful. We get through about four innings in 2 hours. I mean, and it ends about 35-2. So it's like going to watch the Nationals. But I think it'll be a really good move. And I do actually like the enlargement of the bases. I do think base running is one of the best parts of the game. So I think it's worth trying. I think it'll be a good year. You can always change it back. If not, just have a little asterisk in the books.
That's right. The rules, I've watched a few spring training games now. It's very quick to get used to. You know, although Rob's got a point, if the announcers will stop going on about the pitch clock, you know, you do actually start to forget about it, but they keep throwing it down your down your throat. And when you're watching the World Baseball Classic without the rules, you call the difference is incredible. But then in the World Baseball Classic, where you've got them all time, the build-up rises, the suspense rises, the tension rises, especially in the big moments, which you're not going to get in the regular season. So there's a big... I don't know. I think for the postseason, I'd rather just didn't have the pitch clock and let these big moments build in a game, like we saw with the Phils in the postseason last year in the World Baseball Classic. But you're right. Some games just do just go on.
Yeah. I reckon my opinion would be different if I lived in the States and watched the games at a normal time. I reckon that if I could watch primetime games at primetime, I think I'd probably be fine with it staying as long as it is. But when I'm watching the World Baseball Classic, it kicks off at 2 a.m. and I'm still there at 5:30 in the morning. Sometimes I want a bit of a quicker game.
I agree. I think the biggest benefit is getting a game starting at 12 and finishing at 2 o'clock in the morning is far better than finishing at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Toria, any hot takes and your thoughts on the new rules?
Yeah, I think it's not really a massive take, but Brandon Nimmo might actually steal some bases this year, sticking with the theme. I mean, he's still really risk averse, and we saw what happened when he was running the bases last night, but he, with the shortened distance now, maybe he'll take a chance. As far as the rules go, I know that the ban on the shift is designed for more offensive play, but I actually love to see good defense. So I think it's going to encourage some more good plays in the outfield. So I'm actually quite okay with that. As far as the timing goes, similar to what's been said already, right? I think, am I going to complain about being able to hear another couple of innings in the middle of the night before I eventually fall asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning? Nope. Am I going to complain when I'm there in person and I want to soak it all up and enjoy the game and go and get a drink without missing two innings? Yes. So I think it's going to be different. Yeah, I think at home it's going to be great. It's fine. When I'm there, I'm going to hate it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Being there is going to be, and we'll find out soon. I know you're flying off to New York soon. I'll be in Philly soon. And Ryan's going to be out there soon, so we're going to get a taste of it pretty quickly. But you're right. Going to get a drink and coming back, and you've could have missed two innings. Yeah, and you're right. Usually when you go get a drink, you know you've missed what, one at bat, two at bats, and you can just take your seat again. And yeah, it's gonna be different. I think it's gonna be very different watching it in person than it is on TV. So yeah, it's gonna be really interesting. But like all changes, I think we will get used to it.
You can buy a soda on the ballpark app.
Yeah, and have it handed down to you through the aisles. Yeah,
come straight down the seat, and you can pass your fiver down, pass your dollars down the row.
Get those dollar dogs in.
Decent French accent, that one.
Thanks, Rob.
Anything else? Got anything else they wanna go for chess? That's pretty much a wrap from me. Everyone's looking like they've got everything they want to get off their chest. I think we're all pretty much wrapped up, guys. Well, guys, thank you for coming on. It's been a blast. I think I don't know. I'm still high on the Phils. I think the Phils are going to win it all this year. We're going to go one step further. We'll definitely make the NLCS. We have to. We just simply have to. But yeah, the Braves, I think, if not, the Braves are going to be the ones to watch. The Mets aren't doing it. The Mets aren't making postseason. The Marlins, I've got 75 wins, Pete. I think the Marlins are going to improve. I think the fact you're going to play some poor teams in the American side now is actually going to help you. I don't, in terms of National League wise, you maybe are one of the worst teams, but I think there's worse in the American side that you're going to beat up on. And Rob, I might just get you back on in 2027 when things might start looking up.
As long as you've learned to play that piano by now, or 2027, then I'll be there.
Just gathering dust. guys, thank you so much. If you've been watching the show, thank you. Great to see you watching and listening to the podcast. We've got big shows coming up. We've got T-Mac from NBC Sports coming on in a week. We've got Jack Fritz, baby pending, coming on as well. And then, of course, we'll have the big prediction and hiring over pod before the season starts for real in just over a week's time. We are nearly there, folks. For me, at Dave at UK Phils, catch us. UK Phils everywhere. Quickly, plugs for all you guys. Toria, where can we find you on the Twitterverse and social media?
Twitter is XXToriaXX because I'm really original. And on Insta, it's that_British_Mets_girl.
And wearing the T-shirt proudly as well.
Yeah, I love my T-shirt. My friend suggested it, and another guy made it happen, my friend at NFL Mugs. But you should also check out, we've got a great Mets online community as well. So UK Mets online on Twitter and Facebook.
Good plug. Rob, where can we follow you on the social medias for an entertaining season ahead?
I'm on Twitter, but I wouldn't particularly follow me. I don't tweet a lot. And I'll probably tweet even less this year. But if you do have that inclination, then it's at @Nationals_UK.
Beautiful, Rob. Any podcasts coming this year?
From me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I might have a little dabble on Peter's podcast, which I'll
get you on. We'll get you on, Rob.
100%.
But no, I certainly won't be having my own. No.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. Charlie, where can we find you on the socials, mate?
So I'm on Twitter on @Omashaft. It's a long story behind the name. don't worry about it. Instagram, we've got, I think it's charlie.deeks, pretty easy stuff. It's mostly just sports rambling and a lot of recording of the season of the Bristol Baseball Club, which is the baseball club that I play for. So we'll be doing a lot of talk about that. But otherwise, it's all Atlanta sports, bit of Chicago sports in there as well.
Nice. Bristol, great, great club. Played for Southampton Mustangs and Bournemouth, and trips to Bristol were always enjoyable. In fact, anywhere in British baseball except a few in the East of London. But
yes, no comment.
Yeah, no comment. But Bristol, great, great run baseball. And if anyone listening in the UK who wants to get into baseball, just honestly, there's teams everywhere now. There's teams popping up all the time. So check it out. Absolutely. And have a go. Pete, okay. Let's have your long list of plugs here, Pete.
I'm gonna give you the shortened version. At Miami Marlins underscore UK on Twitter. No TikToks, no Instas, none of that. I'm too old. I am 40 years of age this year. Way too old. Twitter, I'm almost too old for that too. Yes, there is a daily Marlins podcast. I know. Why did I accept it? I don't know. But it's Locked On Marlins if you want your Marlins ramblings on a daily basis. Other than that, yeah, Miami Marlins underscore UK.
They're close to plug this year. Not doing your store anymore.
No, where's those fleets gone? We need the fleets back, right?
Mate,
Remember the fleets?
Bring them back, Elon.
What a time.
I miss them fleets.
We could have a different pod than that alone.
We could.
Ryan, where can we find you, buddy? You look knackered, mate.
Yeah. Well, listen, yeah, I say the tweeting's down this year because my little lad's approaching 8 months old and it's taking it out of me. But, you know, he's a bundle of joy, so all good. I'm not tweeting as much this year. I am, even the fantasy baseball, which I'm involved in and I'm talking about, the pods are down, in fact, non-existent. The research that I have put in, which is normally spreadsheet upon spreadsheet, is way down. I'm trying to keep it in my brain, but you know, it's not so smart. But you can find me at RotoTrix, and I've got it here on my name on the YouTube channel as well. There is a warning. I sometimes get a little bit stressed when I'm watching Leeds United. So I'll try and keep it
every
on
weekend brand. Then.
Yeah, every weekend, correct. Yeah, it's not good for the health.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for watching and listening as ever. And we will see you for a pod on coming up Wednesday, pod coming up next weekend, and then one just before opening day as well. But for me and the guys here, we'll say enjoy the season and we'll see you all soon. Good night.